Dear friends and beloved of the Lord Jesus Christ, within our most intimate relationships of life, there can be times between a husband and a wife, between loved ones, where one can notice things weighing heavy upon the other one's mind and heart. Something's not quite right. Perhaps the normal reassuring smile and look seems to be distant. And in the same sense we have in today's psalm, but yet far more profoundly does the psalmist find himself in when he pens today's psalm under inspiration of God. He feels that the Lord is distant from him. The same reassuring smile of faith, as it were. He feels that the Lord has forgotten him in his trials. His soul is troubled. His heart is full of sorrow. Why? Why is this? Well, he gives us the answer in verse 1. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, forever? It seems like an eternity since I know of that blessed assurance in my soul, as it were. You see, what David really valued the most in his life was his relationship with Almighty God, his Maker, through faith in Christ. Anything that got in the way of the relationship that he had with God in his life broke his heart. And during his many sore trials that he had, he felt as though the Lord had withdrawn his presence from him, his blessing from him. He says, how long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, forever? How long will I hide thy face from me? The apparent success of his spiritual enemies, namely that chiefest of one, Saul, was having a discouraging effect upon his relationship. It would seem that Saul was getting his way, as it were, and was pushing him. And the success he was having, and here is David, as it were, and he was discouraged, as it were. He went to the only place he knew where he could find true comfort. And friends, sometimes this is true of us, isn't it? The only place that we can find true comfort in this life is at the mercy seat of God, is at the throne of grace. And this sometimes can be, we can have different seasons in life, can't we? When things don't seem to be going the way we intended them to. We think, well, this is the way God wants me to go. This is the direction what God wants me to go. And often it's the complete other way around. When sorrows like sea billows roll, and in this, let us never, ever lose sight, friends, of the sovereignty of God in our lives. There's no such thing as luck, is there? Everything happens for a purpose. Everything happens for a reason. And you see, the Lord had allowed these things to happen in David's life to bring about a higher purpose, a heavenly purpose. And sometimes we do not understand the method of God's pruning, do we? Sometimes we can think, well, this pruning is far too deep. It's cutting far too much off, as it were. And you that will know your gardening will know that when you prune, you will prune a vine or a tree in the direction you want the stem to grow out of. And so if you want the stem, the vine, to grow towards the light, you'll cut it in a way that heads towards the light so the new growth can can be trained in that direction. And but this would be as if his pruning and his cutting was leading into the valley of the shadow of death, as it were. He was being chased. His enemies seemingly looked like they were having the victory over David. And this sore trial prevailed for a certain amount of time. It would seem that he didn't have much relief over this. Such cutting and training, dear friends, if we look to heaven, if we are thinking spiritually, we'll bear fruit in due season. And this, dear friends, let us never ever forget that we have been conditioned by our impatient culture to think short term. We always think short term gain, not long term, not eternally. And often whilst the cutting takes place, we're not thinking about the seasons that lie ahead, that the cutting and the training will bring forth much fruit in the seasons ahead. So as Christians, we've got to be thinking long term. God's word tells us that he that is of the earth is earthly and speaketh of the earth. And God's word also goes on to say, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth. Set your affection on things above, not on things on earth. And this is what we are to do as Christians. We need to be thinking long term as Christians. And this, of course, is exactly what the psalmist did when he was in so much sorrow of heart over his many outward afflictions. He encourages himself in the Lord. He stirs himself up in the Lord. He pours out his heart and his soul before the Lord. The dark circumstantial clouds are covering, as it were, his vision. The storms of life seem to be getting worse and not better, as it were. And the proud ways of those, his enemies, Saul and others around him, those who are being dictated to by their sin and oppressing David, seem relentless upon his soul, battering wave after wave, those proud waves upon his soul. How long would this carry on for? That's what he's saying. How long, Lord? Forever? This seems like an eternity since I know of that reassurance. It may have been days, it may have been weeks, it may have been months, but it seems like an eternity. When will the proud waves and influences of sin in others, sin in my own heart, abate in my life? When will they subside in my life? I'm tired of the effects of sin. I feel battered by the mean ways of the sinful world. How long will thou forget me, O Lord, says the psalmist? Forever? How long will thou hide thy face from me? David, in the length and the severity of his sore trials, had thought that the Lord had withdrawn himself from him, had forgotten about him. And we at times, friends, can be tempted by the devil to feel the same. We can be tempted that the Lord doesn't care about our souls, especially when we see so much evil around us prevailing, around us, like David did, and our trials go on and on. We can be tempted that the Lord doesn't care. He's somehow forgotten about us, notwithstanding those inward sins that so easily beset us as well. And let us, dear friends, like the psalmist, equip ourselves with the shield of faith that looks beyond those dark clouds, looks beyond the storms, as it were. Far be it from our Heavenly Father to withhold any good thing from his redeemed children. Let us therefore direct our reverence, and I say reverence, complaints and cares and prayers to him who never ever forgets his covenant of grace to his blood-bought children, whose faithfulness is as the morning light. And yes, dark can be the midnight in our trials, but day springs at hand, and glory dwelleth in Emmanuel's land. The psalmist goes on to say in verse 2, "How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me?" He's saying, how long? How long do I have to take counsel in my soul? I want your counsel. I know that I'm not to lean on my own understanding, but in all my ways acknowledge you. I don't want my own counsel. I'm very critical of my own counsel. I want your counsel. I want your blessing. How long, O Lord, will you refresh me with your Holy Spirit and bless me, as it were? And God's word reveals a telling truth about us all, that man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that cometh from the mouth of God. We cannot live. We're made physical, but we also are made spiritual creatures in God's image. We're made for eternity. And David knew this. He had to satisfy his soul. And David knew this. And so he resented his own counsel. He didn't want his own counsel. It made him miserable every day. He wanted God's counsel and God's blessing. And this, of course, was contrasted by the arrogancy of unbelievers who boasted themselves in victory over him, like Saul and his men, to the dishonoring of God and the undermining of God's promises to David. The psalmist does what we all need to do, dear friends, in such trying circumstances as these. He continues by faith to encourage himself in the Lord. That's what we need to do. It says in verses 3 and 4, "Consider and hear me, O Lord, my God. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest mine enemies say, I have prevailed against him. And those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved." He's saying, Lord, if you don't bless me, if I follow your counsel, I'm going to perish, Lord. I can't live without you, Lord. David pleads for the Lord to consider his condition and to hear his prayers. He earnestly desires the Lord's guidance to shine through in his dark situation, in his dark circumstance. He wants God's guidance and blessing. He seeks God's reassurance of his care for his soul. And he also has God's honor at heart, doesn't he? He has God's honor at heart because David's enemies are rejoicing. Because they're troubling him. They're moving him away, as it were. They're discouraging him from God. And they want to move him from the steadfastness of his faith in his Savior, in his salvation, as it were. And David's concern really is how his enemies' deceitful words and actions are reflecting upon the Lord, his rock. He is trusting in the rock. He is going to hide in the cleft of the rock, his Savior, and they're trying to move him from that steadfastness of faith. In essence, he is saying, Lord, is there not a cause in all this? Prove them wrong, Lord. Thou art my immovable rock, and I am thy redeemed child. I am thy blood-bought child. Don't let them get away with trying to take me away from you, my best friend, my love, who cares for my soul. The Lord's bespoke trials, dear friends, for our lives are designed. They are designed, like David, to bring us to our knees to the Lord, independence upon the Lord. They strengthen our faith, don't they, in him. Even when seemingly everything around us shows otherwise, everything around us can seem like it's not going our way. But friends, bespoke trials that God sends us in our life, allows us to happen, should bring us to our knees and strengthen our faith and pierce through those dark clouds. The faith that God gives has a mind's eye towards eternity. It allows me to look beyond my present troubles to a place of eternal bliss, where I will forever be with my Savior in perpetual joy. And that's what David is doing here. When he starts off very low, almost as a lament, but we see towards the end, he's reminding himself that I have Christ, I am the Lord's. No one can touch me. And so he's stirring himself up, he's encouraging himself, he's reminding himself, Whereas the psalmist reminds himself of these truths, and he sings, he bursts out in song in verses 5 and 6 to the Lord. But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord, because he hath dealt bountifully with me. You see here the contrast when he reminds himself, he stirs himself up, encourages himself up by the grace of God. But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation, because of what you have done in my life, because you have saved me, because you have allowed these things to happen in my life. I'm not going to allow my circumstance to get the better of me. I will trust in your word. I will trust in your mercy. I will trust in your salvation. And I will sing unto the Lord, because he has dealt bountifully with me. He has been so bountifully with me. Oh friends, let us in these dark days, by faith, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Put it on. Daily remind yourself, if you're truly Christ's, of that no one can ever take you away from the things of Christ. Equip yourself. Surely know that you remind yourself that surely knowing that I belong to Christ is my only relief in this sin-sick world. Surely knowing that his promises will forever be effectual to me. Will be my comfort and my joy. Dear friends and beloved of the Lord Jesus, how good it is for us to draw nigh to God here today. David did, didn't he? When everything around him was going wrong, he drew close to the Lord God. When in despair, when overloaded with so much worldly care, bring it all, friends. Bring it all, O ye his people, to the throne of grace. And you, like David, will know of God's sure, eternal embrace. Perhaps I'm speaking to someone here today who feels forgotten about. You feel forgotten about in our modern culture, as it were. You feel like you're being left behind in our ever-changing, shallow culture, our base culture. And you're just another number. You're just another statistic, as it were. And perhaps you spent many years away from Christ in your sin, like the prodigal son did. And this was me for many years, dear friends. I spent many years away from Christ. Perhaps you spent many years away. You feel forgotten about by society, the shallow society that we live in. And like the prodigal, you've ended up eating the scraps of the society. Pig's food, as it were. And perhaps you've been forgotten about or betrayed by a friend or by a loved one. Or perhaps you betrayed a friend or a loved one. And you're literally at your wit's end. And perhaps now you find yourself alone. Society has forgotten about you. You feel full of sorrow and full of regret. Your soul is nigh close unto death. You're struggling to find true meaning and purpose in life. Well, dear friends, I need to tell you that the Lord has not forgotten about you. He who never slumbers nor sleeps, he hasn't forgotten about you. Perhaps the right question is have you forgotten about the Lord God your Maker? Let us learn from the psalmist's words here today that earnestly sought the matters of the soul and the matters of eternity. Have I put my hope in the creature rather than the Creator all these years? This was me, friends. I'm not pointing the finger, this was me for many years. Have I put my hope and my ambition and my affection to the creature and not the Creator? Have I spent all these years away from God in my sin? When I know deep down it's all going to come crashing down when I breathe my last, have I done that? I know deep down that I came into this world with nothing. I'm going to leave with nothing. God's word clearly teaches us today that we are made not only physical beings, friends. We're made in the holy image of God. We're made spiritual beings. Have a relationship with God. And that's what David missed. You have an eternal soul, and I have an eternal soul. And just like David, it is our sin, isn't it, separates us from our holy God. And the psalmist trusted in Christ as his Savior. Do you trust in Christ? You know, before I was saved, someone asked me that question. Do you have a relationship with God? And I said, yeah, I have a relationship with God. I knew of the gospel, but I didn't know the power of the gospel, the transforming power of what Christ did. Do you have a relationship? Yeah, I do. I didn't. I didn't have a relationship with God until on that blessed day that He saved me. Do you have a relationship with God like David did, where you are more concerned of eternal issues rather than worldly ones? What questions are you asking the Lord? Are you asking the Lord questions like David did? Or are you even asking the Lord deep spiritual questions concerning your soul? How long, David asks, how long will you forget me, O Lord, forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long will I take counsel in my soul forever? Or is it just about yourself? This was me for many years. It was just about myself. How long until I get what I want in life? Till I get this in life? Till I get that in life? How long until I get my next cheap thrill? How long until I gratify, as it were, my lust? How long until I get these things in life? Just giving myself to the creature, as it were. How long will I get away with living a life away from God in my sin, dear friends? How long will this continue? How long, knowing the judgments of God, knowing He is someone who means what He says, how long will I get away with living my life like this, dishonoring my Maker, breaking His holy commandments, stealing from God the glory due to His name? Oh, my dear friends, this was me for many, many years. The emptiness, the void inside your heart, until on that blessed day that Jesus saved me. I'll never forget it. And then I had a true relationship with God. Do you have a true, abiding relationship with God where you're more concerned over the matters of the soul? Oh, will you receive Jesus into your heart this day and truly be forgiven of your sins? For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Are you lost? Cry unto the Good Shepherd of your soul, who laid down His holy life for all your sins. God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we yet sinners, Christ died for us. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Dear friend, the Lord God has not forgotten about you. He never slumbers, He never sleeps. Confess your sin. Pour out your heart before Him. It is Jesus Christ. It is Jesus Christ your righteousness? Our rock, He is cleft. We can go to Him, our rock, who is cleft for me. We can hide in Him, as it were. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all sins and all unrighteousness. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. God's word says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Oh, my dear friend, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. He has not forgotten about you. Jesus has promised His blood-bought children. He has promised His blood-bought children that I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you if you will turn from your sin to Him. Friends, it says that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And may God's word be a blessing to each and every one of our hearts.